You're listening to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and ordinarily we are live, and this would be Friday, February 27th. That's when you're listening to this, but actually, this is a pre-recorded show. Both Chris and I are out of town, so I'm going to avoid doing the super topical news of the week. Do tune in next week when we will be live, and that will be after the filing deadline for all candidates, and we're hoping to do sort of a little May election primary preview, a little introduction to everybody who's going to be on the ballot next Friday. But today, this Friday, I am here and talking with Max Oswald, the sports editor for the Bonner County Daily Bee, for a long overdue sports roundup. It's been a long time since you were actually in here, Max. And no offense to you, and sports have been interesting. It's just like a busy time for everything else.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's probably about August, September last time we were on here. So good to be back.
We missed the fall, like the fall, end of fall wrap up, I think, mm-hmm. because it, you know, there were other things going on, elections sure. and news of, of less sporting nature. But sports are timeless, Max. That's what I always say. Always worth hearing about what's going on in the sporting world.
I think so.
Okay, we're going to talk mostly about local sports, of course, but let's introduce our listeners to you and your perspective. What did you think of the Olympics? Have you been watching the Olympics?
You know, I have to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I did not watch any of the Olympics. I watched a little bit of curling. Uh-huh. Of course, you know, they have that on at, I might have been at Sweet Lou's. Uh-huh. And so watched a little bit of that, and that's fun. I know people are really into hockey lately and mm-hmm. all that. But, you know, local sports is really, it can be demanding, and that's my focus. So, I didn't get a chance to watch anything.
I didn't watch any of it. None of it live anyway. And if I had known that Team USA was going to win mm-hmm. gold, in fact, in both men's and women's hockey, then I probably would have watched those games. But I just didn't. I had no idea that was even in the realm of possibility. So I wasn't tuned in until and then I did go back and actually watch the highlights afterwards. But that's not the same. Super Bowl, Max?
Yes.
How was that?
Watched it. Mm-hmm. Good. You know, my dad's a mm-hmm. Seahawks fan. Even being from Pennsylvania, he's always been a Seahawks fan ever since sort of the Steve Largent era. So I was happy for him that the mm-hmm. Seahawks came out on top. Just so happened, moved to this area about 3 years ago, and there's a lot of Seahawks mm-hmm. fans. So enjoyable experience. And actually, where I'm from, you know, a lot of Patriots, mm-hmm. mostly Eagles, but a lot of Patriots fans too. I've have some cousins up in Maine, so had to text them after it was all over. Yeah. But overall, happy for the Seahawks win.
It was nice to see the Seahawks win again, and it's okay for the Patriots to lose every once in a while. Yeah,
with my girlfriend being a Bills fan, you know that helps out too.
Yeah, so. I thought the Bills. This might have been the year for the Bills. That was my feeling. I think my prediction before the playoffs was this is magic's going to happen, but not so much.
Yeah, it was tough. I've become a Bills fan mm-hmm. by association, I guess. I never really had a team, so now we have Bills stuff all over the house.
Yeah,
so.
it's a good one to follow. All right, out here in North Idaho, it is in terms of organized sports. Mm-hmm. Winter is dominated by basketball and wrestling, and then other things that people do on the snow. And that's about it, right?
Yep. Yeah. No, mostly basketball, wrestling. That's what dominates about 3/4 of my working hours this time of year. Which things are coming to a close, however. Wrestling is at the state tournament in Nampa at the Ford Idaho Center this Friday and Saturday. That's both girls and boys. 19 wrestlers from Sandpoint qualified, one from Clark Fork. So that'll be fun. I'll be keeping up with that this weekend. And then, of course, boys basketball will play tomorrow night in a loser-out game against Moscow, with the winner advancing to a state play-in at 1 p.m. in Grangeville on Saturday, and that'll be a team from District D3's Southeast Idaho Conference. So looking forward to that. But almost every other team is done for the winter. I got Priest River boys basketball tonight versus Kellogg. I'll be watching that. And that's a loser out game in the 3A Central Idaho League, with Priest River being the fourth seed out of four teams this year. Hoping for an upset, though. They're pretty close to them last time. So, yeah, things are starting to wrap up overall.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I think we could really start with the girls' basketball and their success at the state tournament and even before that.
Okay. Tell us the tale of the Bulldogs state. Do they just call them the Bulldogs in both cases?
It's like kind of a preference, but I mm-hmm. say Lady Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. Of course, Clark Fork specifically is the Lady Cats, is what they do call themselves. Mm-hmm. Sandpoint doesn't have anything specific like that. Neither does Priest River or Bonner's Ferry for that matter. But I always say Lady. Good to differentiate in the paper to kind of like let them know. You know, it's like, okay, this is the girls' team playing. You know,
yeah, it's easier than either way saying the Bulldogs are playing. Okay.
Right.
What's the best way, I guess, of telling us this this tale?
What? Just going at it, I think. I think I can just start talking.
All right.
But Sandpoint girls basketball finishes the season 21-6. Great record, 6-0 against Greater Spokane League schools this year. So that's always super impressive. Even to have six Greater Spokane League schools on the schedule is pretty crazy in itself, but obviously, with first-year head coach Maddie Schoening this year, taking over the reins for Will, who built up the program, been very successful ever since they won their first state title in 2023. And they rolled with that success this year, making it back to the state tournament and getting second. Finished runner-up to Pocatello. That was 62-49. That was this past Saturday. Yeah, and they took the long way to state. So actually Lakeland, which is in the 5A Inland Empire League with Sandpoint, was the number one seed in the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We'd also lost to them three times this year, most recently being a 77-73 loss in the district title game. So for the first time this year, the league actually got 1.5 bids to state as opposed to one, meaning a half is the opportunity to play in a playing game.
Okay.
So the bylaws change this year for
mm-hmm.
to make that a thing. And we were much stronger than Moscow and Lewiston, although shouldn't say much because those were pretty close games. It was a very strong league this year, but mm-hmm. we ended up winning out after losing the district title match, beat Skyview of Nampa in a play-in game, and went back to the state tournament, ranked second. So we were ranked second in the entire state. Lakeland was ranked first.
Okay.
So I can tell you how strong the league was.
Yeah.
For girls ball.
Okay. So this is like as somebody who doesn't know the sports terminology too well, the play-in, would that be analogous to a wild card game sort of in the professional league sports tournaments? There's mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Sort of like a baseball wild card. There was
before
two.
The actual.
Correct.
The tournament starts, but it's like, yeah, after the season, the in-between to determine who's going to fill out those last seats. Yeah.
That's right, and there's two playing games for girls.
Okay.
It fluctuates. Sometimes there's one, sometimes there's two, but this year there's two.
Okay.
So that worked out for us, you know. Our conference getting one bid in the past, you know, could you imagine a team like Sandpoint not going to state? We ended up getting second, so I mean, beat Bishop Kelly 51-28 in the opener, beat Blackfoot 53-50 in the semis, and then, of course, fell to Pocatello, had mentioned 62-49. Pocatello was actually the fourth seed, but they were also the defending champs. They also have Gonzaga commit Abby Lusk, who averaged about 25 points and 15 rebounds a game. So it wasn't anything too crazy in terms of. We're happy we got second, I'm sure. Would have wanted first, but Lakeland, you know, we lost to them, like I'd mentioned again, lost to them three times this year. Super strong. Pocatello beat Lakeland to get to the
there
title game. So
yeah. So, and the first year without former head coach Will Love,
mm-hmm.
who oftentimes will sit in this studio and talk about the news with us on Friday mornings,
right.
or sports, or whatever, and sporting news. Maddie Shaining, she held the team together obviously very well. Difficult, big shoes to fill, I would say.
Absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. Maddie's a 2016 grad herself, former mm-hmm. University of Montana standout. She's the second leading scorer in Sandpoint history, or she's a second all time, mm-hmm. With, I believe, 1,418 points. That's coming right off the top of my head here, I believe.
I could look that up.
I believe that's what it is. You could probably find it on the Grizz website. But 1,418 while at Sandpoint. And figures, you know, she was going to take over when it was announced Will was heading over to the boys. And I think she's a tremendous coach. And she, you know, picked the program right up where she left off. She was an assistant 4 years prior.
Right. Yeah, so she'd been with them during the state title run and everything like that.
Yeah, you know, lots of in-program knowledge there. And, you know, she changed it up a little bit, especially in the defensive end this year, a lot more mm-hmm. pressure. And that seemed to work out for us very well in a lot of games. And kind of running that conceptual offense, Will, the conceptual offense that Will had kind of started, played a mm-hmm. variation of that. And yeah, 21-6 is crazy. Actually, the all league results had came out, and we had two players on the first team, which were Brecken Meyer and Jordan Tomko, both juniors. And Meyer recently hit the 1,000-point milestone in the final game of districts. So right before the play-in game, she had 1,000 points. And not quite sure the exact number, but I believe, you know, there's only about 6-7 players that have ever hit such a milestone in girls basketball
mm-hmm.
history at Sandpoint. Of course, Tomko as well didn't get the final calculations, but she's about 30 points away from 1,000. So she finished the season very close. They're both juniors.
Cool.
So Tomko's committed to NCAA Division II Alaska Anchorage.
All right. Wow, as a junior already committed.
Yep,
junior in high school.
Gets pretty serious nowadays with recruiting, but you know, coaches have probably already moved on to the class of 28. You know, sometimes you'll get a under-recruited player in their senior year. That happens probably more than you think. But yeah, we also had Livia Driggs was also a standout this year for Sandpoint in the regular season finale versus Lewiston. She had 7 three-pointers and I believe career-high 27. Wow. So we got a lot of scores. You know, Tomko had 32 in the semifinal against Blackfoot. I think for the entire tournament, Brecken Meyer averaged 21 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
So just a bunch of super impressive players. And had a newcomer, Jasmine Lang, this year. She was a senior, and she helped out a ton. I mean, The program's going to be super strong again next year, so definitely something that I want to follow if you're into local sports here in Sandpoint.
Yeah, two returning seniors, all-star seniors, sounds mm-hmm. like. Yeah, that should be pretty good. And already, as state runner-ups this year. We're talking to Max Oswald, sports editor for the Daily Bee, talking about what's going on in local sports. We shouldn't, I suppose, just talk about Sandpoint before we move on to the boys basketball team. The Lady Bulldogs, as we're choosing to call them, they were the second runner-up. So
mm-hmm.
of our area, they were the best basketball team. But other girls basketball teams worth mentioning? For the local high schools?
Yeah, you know, Clark Fork and Priest River did not make state this year. Fell shy in the district tourneys. But it's been fun watching them as well. I know someone to watch out for Priest River is McKinley Burgess Duquette. And she's just a sophomore. And she was an absolute double-double machine this year. I believe Priest River had about eight wins still. They've built up a strong program over the last 3-4 years, but they lost a lot of seniors. Of course, they have a senior this year too that'll graduate, Aaliyah Jensen, very talented 3-point shooter. But surely they're going to rebuild for next year. That they only had about 8 players this year. And Clark Fork, good to transition to Clark Fork, they only had about 7 players, maybe 6.5 at times, you know. Oof. So Clark Fork is operating at times with even just 5 players this year, which is obviously the minimum number you need. So I believe they still eked out about 6-7 wins. So I'm sure in terms of they would like to do better, but both those teams under 500. But super fun to cover. Great relationships with those two schools.
Yeah. Having those schools that small, I mean, Clark Fork High School probably has, less than 100 students in the if you count all 4 grades? It'd be around 100, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I think the graduating class, I think, is usually between 20 and 30. So
they're coming up with the class next year. The freshman next year will have about 35.
Okay.
So really big class going up. But that's atypical.
Right. So, I mean, when you fall to having just 6 or 7 players on a sports team, it seems to me you're in on a basketball team.
Yeah.
You're kind of at risk of falling below the number 5, at which point you have no basketball team, right?
That does happen for schools around here occasionally.
Yeah.
Even in football, Clark Forks had to forfeit a game because we only had 7 healthy players in an 8-man football game.
Yeah.
So it does happen. Smaller schools are at risk for that. Of course, you know, the junior high basketball program at Clark Fork is very strong, and they're going to be bringing up a lot of girls next year. It was the year prior that they actually went 19-0 for the junior high team. So I think Clark Fork girls basketball will really take a step up this next year. Of course, they have a young team, too. They are going to graduate a first-team Scenic Idaho Conference selection in Piper Scarlet, but also have just super young team. Clark Fork girls ball could be something to watch out for. It's very cyclical with small schools, so some years you're going to have the downer years, but some years, you know, when you get that big class with a lot of athletes, it can be like, whoa, like Clark Fork's real good again.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Let's see. We're continuing to talk about basketball before we move on to wrestling.
Sure.
I hate to talk all the time about Sandpoint Sports because we do broadcast to all the other areas, you know, up here too. But let's do it. Let's talk about the Bulldogs. Let's talk about the boys basketball team for Sandpoint High and their new head coach, Will Love, who moved over from the girls team and is now the head coach of the boys team.
Yeah.
I could pull up you. I'm sure you know the record faster than I can even pull it up.
I believe we are 11-12.
Mm-hmm.
So looking to get back to 500. That'll be tomorrow night, 6:00 at Les Rogers Court in a loser out game.
Thursday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'll be, when people listen to this, that will have already happened.
Oh,
we'll find
that's
out.
That's right. So
we'll see.
Yes,
the season could be over.
So as you're listening to this, if Sandpoint won that game, then they'll play it on Saturday in Grangeville in that playing game we were talking about earlier. So, it's been tough because, well, I believe three or four of our losses are to Lewiston alone, which is tremendously strong. And of course, you can get into the nuts and bolts of whether Lewiston should really be in our league anymore or not. But historically, Lewiston has been in the 6A Inland Empire League with Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene, and Lake City. So Lewiston's been in Sandpoint's league for the last 2 years now. When they did the reclassification numbers, they were just under and able to go to 5A. So, of course, last night was the district title game for Sandpoint boys hoops, and they fell to Lewiston 72-54. Of course, Lewiston is 20-3 this year with their 3 losses coming to 6A schools. So it's been tough to get past them. I believe it's coming, though. It's tough. It's tough competing with big schools like that. I mean, I'm watching the broadcast last night, and it is an absolutely packed house down there in Lewiston. I mean, I was just down in Orofino, so mm-hmm. I was driving by again, and it's tough when you're looking over the hill when you're on, I guess, what is it, 95? And it's just like, I'm looking down on Lewiston. I'm like, man, this place is pretty big.
Yeah.
Compared to Sandpoint. So it's, you know, I believe Sandpoint's welcome the competition, though. We're most sports, we're extremely competitive with them, so... That's kind of the latest on boys hoops. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 11 and 12, the record's kind of deceiving, I would say. We're really solid this year. We played in a lot of tournaments facing some really strong teams. Had three games in Wenatchee this year, had three games in the East Idaho Shootout mm-hmm. down in, I believe, Pocatello. So we're playing extremely quality teams, and I think that's going to help out on help us get to state again this year. So,
let's see. Any notable? I wish we had Mr. Love here. We'll get him in sometime soon, I'm sure. Especially once the season's over, his schedule opens up a little bit more. We can grill him on his coaching style, I guess. But any any notable changes? What happens when a new head coach like Will Love arrives to a basketball team? You know. Like this? Has there been a dramatic change in like the style of play, or what do you, how does a head coach affect a basketball team at the high school level?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if it was a complete overhaul. I know that some things have remained in place from the previous head coach, Brian Childs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, a new offensive scheme, and that was entirely implemented by Will. And
yeah.
It can be tough for players to learn this conceptual style offense. You know, of course, when you've been used to doing something for 3 years and then now you're a senior or maybe a junior and you're like, well, you know, I have to essentially relearn everything that we're doing. Of course, they have the bait, you know, when you're at this level. You know, the basics are already down. So it's really mm-hmm. all about the implementation. And I know that Sandpoint was very busy in the summertime. You know, that a lot mm-hmm. of high schools will compete in tournaments during the summer now.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of refining, I shouldn't say tournaments, they're kind of like exhibition shootout type.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of teams come to a central location and play each other. But thankfully, getting those summers together, you know, refining things has really translated into the winter season, and of mm-hmm. course, you know, they got most of the fall too. A lot of basketball players, there are a lot of 2-3 sport athletes, but I'd say basketball around here definitely has the most focused, like, one just they just play basketball.
Yeah.
Which that's not always the case, but you know, of course, Logan Roos, a senior, is being his main sport is basketball. He mm-hmm. he's being pretty heavily recruited as a 6'7" sort of guard forward combo, and he averages just about a double double for Sandpoint, and that's really hard to do at the high school level when you're only playing mm-hmm. 32 minute games. So, anyways, I kind of went off on a tangent there.
No, I have more questions for Will Love, I think, probably, and I look forward to getting him in. I guess the high school is different. I think about the basketball, the different levels of basketball in the United States, at mm-hmm. least. I mean, at the NBA level, you can have really different styles of play on a team. I mean, you know, you can have, I guess, your team can be, I don't know,
I get what you're trying to say.
Yeah, because everybody knows the fundamentals, so the head coach has a major impact on kind of. It's not just about you know, keeping the team in shape and doing the basic drills, but the strategy that a head coach can implement on a professional basketball team is huge, and I think probably even more so in
100%.
College where they're. The players are moving through, but the head coach can stay there for decades if they're successful
mm-hmm.
and really build a you know, build the operation around them and recruit the type of player that they want to fill the slot. But in the case of head coach Will Love, he gets whoever, you know, enrolls right. in Sandpoint High School next year.
And high school, really, it's really, you're really lucky if mm-hmm. you have a coach that's, you know, super dedicated, especially mm-hmm. in a small town. And I'd even argue it's the most transformative. You're setting, you're 14, 15, 16-year-olds, you know, of course, juniors and seniors as well, but these years are extremely important to how you're going to develop as both a player and as a person. And I think if you have a high school coach, especially in basketball, that is even more of a mentor. Of course, when you go, like you said, when you're going up to the college ranks, so those mm-hmm. kids are like, you know, choosing. They can come from wherever, but mm-hmm. you work with what you got on the high school level. And thankfully, all the schools around here have extremely dedicated athletes, but not always the case. Really, that leadership and mentorship is super important. And with Will bringing in all his experience and years and all his coaching knowledge, his knowledge of analytics is and how the game actually like operates is so much further than mine. Even he's a good one to have. Mm. We have tremendous coaches around here. I have to be honest. Like you're not seeing. And of course, it's going on another tangent, but you're not seeing these level of coaches stick around at high school for too long like they are around here. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I'll be interested to hear from Mr. Love. I mean, this with the really outstanding success that he had with the girls team.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I think he posted a winning record for the last, I don't know,
so how he long. He was... over his career as a girls coach, he was 99-68, according to my records.
Yeah.
So he reached his 100th win between both teams in the season opener against Bonner's Ferry this year. So.
Oh, good.
He's at 110 wins now.
I'm glad he did. Congratulations. But this season at least, I mean, mm-hmm. and who knows what happens in the tournament, but this season at least going 11-12, you know, it seems like he's starting he's starting over a little bit, or is he? What's his? I hope he's probably listening right now, so I hope he doesn't take offense to when I say this, but like, you know, he's got to build this machine again to some extent with the boys team that he did with the girls team,
in a sense, for sure. You know, historically speaking, even for the past decade, boys basketball hasn't been too strong for mm-hmm. Sandpoint. While Brian Childs, he laid a great groundwork. Yeah, mm-hmm. He really put in a lot of groundwork to get the program to where it's at, and having someone like Will take it over is tremendous. So I'd actually say, you know, 11-12 is what probably was expected this year, but even could be mm-hmm. above average. We'll change up the schedule a lot. So we've played some mm-hmm. really tough teams.
Mm-hmm.
Faced Star Valley of Afton, Wyoming, and I mean they just have some. I mean they beat Coeur d'Alene by about 35. We lost to them by one in overtime. So if mm-hmm. that, you know, we also lost to Coeur d'Alene by one in overtime. We lost to Coast Falls by two. I mean. We're competing with these schools that hasn't been on this level. I know Coeur d'Alene was kind of having a down year this year, but
mm-hmm.
being even 1 point away in overtime to Coeur d'Alene is a really good sign for the program.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
So it feels like the program is in a good place. Perhaps better than the than this year's season record would indicate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, and of course, I really am confident in saying that they'll most likely be in the state championship tournament this year. So maybe
by the time this airs, that will either be correct or not. Well, maybe
depending on Saturday's result. It might be as like a 7 or 8 seed, but even getting down there is definitely very much the goal. And as I've talked about in interviews in the past with Will, you know, the goal is building a program into one that's contending for state championships. A lot of coaches will say that and it usually sometimes it fizzles out. But there, you can tell when a coach has true intentions of making that happen, and I believe Will is very set on doing that. I've had a ton of fun watching the team this year. We have some great athletes. You know, there's some players that are just super good. We haven't seen this amount of talent in a long time. So, you know, that also helps, of course.
Yeah. Well, I've already taken up more of your time than I expected, but let's talk wrestling.
Let's do it.
Because that's the other main organized sport that, at least in high school, that you cover most of the time. Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
How is it? I know nothing about how it's been. So you tell me, has it been a good year for wrestling in North Idaho?
Super solid. Yeah. You know, as I mentioned in the beginning, you know, 19 between the boys and girls, 19 athletes going down to state this upcoming Friday and Saturday, and one from Clark Fork. Of course, the girls state championship is a all class state championship, meaning 1A through 6A, it's all combined into one state tournament. And then, of course, Sandpoint competes in the now 5A state championship. We have about 10 guys going down there. Super strong team. Just the girls had won back-to-back district titles. So they are now the all-class District 1 and 2 champions for the second straight year. And it really wasn't close. Sometimes it does come down to numbers, really, but it... I think we had beat Post Falls by about 70, and they were second. So that's pretty big margin. Mm-hmm. And the boys just finished second to Lakeland in the district championships this past Saturday. Lakeland has won it has been extremely dominant in our league for a number of years now. So, of course, that I actually think they won it by over 100 points. So, yeah, they... but we got at least 10 boys going down to state, so that's huge in itself. Jordan Tyler, who now wrestles at North Idaho College, he won the state championship last year for Sandpoint. Jackson Holman, current senior, wrestling at 215 pounds, was runner-up last year, so he's one to look out for this weekend, as well as Jeremiah Palmer, wrestling at 190 pounds. They'll definitely, shouldn't say definitely, but they have a really good chance at making the podium. A number of girls do as well. I mean,
how many girls are there competing? I know girls wrestling has only been even a sport in Idaho high school athletics for less than a decade, I think.
I believe the first district tournament that was essentially official, I guess would be the word to call it, was 4 years ago here.
Okay.
3 or 4.
Yeah.
So, and even, I believe the first one, Bonner's Ferry, had actually won. So, but of course, like with small schools, and even more so in girls wrestling, it's very cyclical. So, I think the team right now is majority comprised at Sandpoint of sophomores and juniors, hugely. So like, you know, when they graduate, you might be losing 10 athletes at a time, but they're super strong right now. I don't know where I was going with that exactly.
But they have 10 wrestlers, or 10 female wrestlers this year. So you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which that seems like a huge number.
That's a great number. Yeah. And there's about two or three less weight classes in girls wrestling as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we almost have someone represented in every weight, which is super impressive. And super fun to follow something like that. You know, I never envisioned when I came here 3 years ago, I'm like, yeah, you know, like girls wrestling is going to be a focal point. I mean, now it really is, like, they are really good. Mm-hmm. And, People love hearing about it, and I love to cover it. And it helps when you have super supportive staff members and coaches as well, which, again, I've said that. But, you know, building up these programs and getting, like, girls wrestling on the map is, like, not easy to do. Mm-hmm. But
how does that 10 wrestlers for our school, you probably don't know exactly, but does it seem like we have more more wrestlers than your average school of about this size?
Yeah.
It seems like that to me.
Yeah. I would say we had about, you know, anywhere between 25 and 30 girls on the team this year alone. So that's a super large number. I guess to say it's top five in the state.
Yeah.
There are some schools down south, like Thunder Ridge, that have like closer to 35, 40. Maybe, maybe I'm thinking of last year's numbers, not super familiar with the numbers this year. But I know, having talked in even the junior high ranks of middle school stuff, Moscow has like 45 girls. Like it's growing tremendously. Like it used to be like Sampling Junior High. It's like they show up to me, they got 35, 40 girls.
Uh-huh.
And now it's like, whoa, like Moscow has like 40, 45 girls. Like it's just growing that much. So it's definitely its own thing, you know, separate boys wrestling nowadays. You know, it used to be just 2 years ago that girls would face boys in some brackets and tournaments around here. And that, that rarely happens anymore. If at all.
That's interesting. Okay. Where were we? What haven't we discussed yet with wrestling?
I think, you know, with the Clark Forks girl, I think this is the first girl that's, she's the first girl that's going down to the state tournament. So
that's cool.
I did read a note on, I think I was on Facebook the other day, but unofficially back in the day, they actually did used to have some wrestling in Clark Fork called like the Mat Cats. That was back in like the 90s. And they competed in tournaments locally and maybe had a girl here or there. But her name's Summer Birch. I should probably mention that. But yeah, she'll be representing Clark Fork this year.
Nice. Good for her.
And then Priest River, of course, has had six boys qualify for the 3A title or state tournament. So I've been following them as well. They are really good in the lower weights, 98 pounds, 106 pounds, 113 pounds. That's four out of their six are in those weight classes. So it's hard to fill those weight classes. Super hard. I know in some states they don't even have 98 anymore. So,
I think I've asked this before, but if you go to state, I mean, and you're a really good wrestler from Priest River, do you just, are you competing with everybody in the state, or is it still, you're just competing with your class of high school in the, you know, I mean, are there different, you know, does 5A still compete with just 5A, or do they compete with everybody? Like, might you wrestle everybody?
Just 5A and 5A, and then Priest River will be 3A. Now, they don't have 1A and 2A in wrestling, so 3A is actually all of 2A and 1A as well.
Okay.
Typically, you're not seeing too many wrestlers out of those schools, especially ones that are really high ranking. There are some, though, don't get me wrong, but that's all 3A, all in one, Priest River.
So you won't ever see somebody from Priest River wrestling somebody from Sandpoint?
Not at the state level, but of course, you know, we'll duel them every year.
Yeah.
You know, just as an inter-county match, but that won't happen.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the snow sports, if there's anything to say about it, because we haven't had snow until like last week. Where did it all go? I don't know. Anyway, was there anything to write about in the snow sports?
Yeah, I've gotten some press releases from Team Snowboard Northwest, which is comprised of local, mostly high schoolers, but there's some as young as 11 and 12 that are on this team, and they'll go compete regionally. It was much more active last year when there was a lot more snow, but they're still going out and competing at competitions, and these can be athletes from, you know, Sandpoint. I know we have some from Bonner's Ferry, some from Coeur d'Alene, even had some from Spokane in the past competing on this team. And I know they were just at Mount Hood, which I believe is in Clackamas County, Oregon. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, Clackamas.
Yeah, me neither, but I know it's in Oregon,
But they were just over at Mount Hood doing some slope style and rail jam competitions. And they were also, not sure where else they were at. Somewhere, Big Sky, Montana. That's where they were. And so just two competitions that I know of so far this year, but I know they have a couple other lined up. I'm not sure if we'll have anything locally up at Schweitzer this year. I do know by the time this is aired, it'll have been on Thursday, that they're actually having a Special Olympics for skiing competition up at Schweitzer. So
nice.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And yeah.
I believe there were 6 athletes from Sandpoint that were going to be competing in it.
Marvelous. Well, so, that's cool. Will have happened then on Thursday.
That's right.
Okay. Let's see. Max Oswald, you're the sports editor and reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee.
Only one, I guess.
Yeah. You are the sports department, the desk. What are you most looking forward to as the in the sporting life for the next couple months or weeks or whatever? What's coming up?
Yeah, you know, spring sports is, believe it or not, March 14th. We'll be kicking off softball and baseball, so that's about a little over 2 weeks away.
We're 2 weeks from baseball season?
That's right.
Crazy.
It doesn't always happen on time, but looking at the forecast, we're already getting back into the 50s in like 10 days. So I believe it'll start on time this year.
Seems like it, yeah.
So, of course, track, I believe, also starts up about, you know, maybe the 16th or 19th, something like that. And you know, got lacrosse too. Got tennis. So tennis is always super strong. I'll get maybe a 3-day hiatus and be right back into things. Next week, I'm already going to be starting working on the spring sports preview once I wrap up everything for the winter. So not too knowledgeable on how the teams will be yet this year, but I'll say competitive as usual, especially girls tennis, of course. Look out for 2-time defending champion Pepper Rickert, just a junior. So hasn't lost a game yet in her entire career. So I've never heard of something like that. I mean, we're not even talking about like a, she hasn't lost a set. I mean, it's crazy. But I'm looking forward to keeping up with all the sports, really. And we're going to have a ton of success in track like usual. So, Gonna get right into all that here in a week. So exciting. And I know the local mountain biking team does some racing in the spring too. So
see
what's up with them.
Okay. So I'm gonna look into there. Okay. The spring sports preview will be tucked into the paper somewhere.
I do have a published date for that.
What's that?
March 21st.
Okay.
It'll be out
right on the solstice.
Yep.
Or so. Perfect.
So I'll be working on that pretty hard the next couple weeks, and should be good product like usual. Never know what it's going to end up being. Try to make it more consistent in the years past, but kind of depends what space you get. You know, it's a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So gotta see what the space looks like in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Max. This was great. I'm glad we covered everything.
I think so.
Yeah. And it took a while, but I think we got the whole thing done. This was good. And Max Oswald, editor and reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. He's all over the sports section. If you turn to, what is that? The C, section B or C or whatever it is. Turn the page. You'll find him.
Just an A nowadays.
Just an A.
Just an A. But Coeur d'Alene Press, I think, has a B.
Okay.
But,
yeah. All right. Well, I got to actually get the hard copy of the paper to find these things out.
That's
I always
right.
read it online. Okay. Thanks very much. And on now to our regularly scheduled programming. Tomorrow, station volunteers Bob Hahn and Terry Owens are taking over for me. And they are, in fact, we are broadcasting the town hall from Sandpoint Community Hall with Jim Woodward and Mark Souter and possibly Cornell Razor. The legislative representatives from District 1. So tune in for that at noon tomorrow. And thanks to those volunteers for making that happen. Thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio. And away we go.